Second Samuel 7. Now, I understand it's going to take us a while to find it. All right? Go to the first book in the Bible. All right? Go to the first book in the Bible. Go to Genesis. And just walk your way that way. Keep turning to the right. All right? You'll see Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Oh, let's do some exercise and let's do some review while you're getting there. In Genesis, how did we see Jesus? Jesus, we were introduced to Jesus in the book of Genesis as the Creator. We were also introduced to Jesus in the book of Genesis as stairway or ladder to heaven. Brings God to man and takes man back to God. Then we got into the next book in the Bible, which is Exodus, and we look at Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And in those four books, we saw Jesus as, give me some of the names you remember. We were introduced to Jesus as a lamb. Light of the world. Water. I'm trying to figure out, how do you do water? In that old song as a kid, I got love like a river. I was trying to get something out of you. Good and nice. Y'all ate way too much, all right? All right, got lamb, got light, got water of life, the rock that gave the water life.
Bread of life.
Bread of life, manna. Not yet. Oh, that we missed that one out of Genesis. Creator and seed or dragon slayer, the one that took on the devil. Very good pickup. All right, but we got lamb, light, bread,
water.
There you go. He was, yeah. He was the, we're playing Password or Pictionary, one of those games. We saw Jesus as that, all over that tabernacle that shows us where we dwell with God, that it's Jesus that makes us able to be the sanctuary of God now, right? Okay, now, some of these things are so different than what we've grown up being taught, okay? Most of what we've learned about Jesus comes from Christmas. It's the truth. The story about his birth, the wise men coming. Around the Easter time, we talk about his death and his resurrection. But there's long stretches of time that we don't hear much about Jesus. But the truth is, yeah, the reality of Jesus, the very truth of Jesus, starts way back. Before the Bible was ever written, it starts back in eternity, but we don't know about it or know about him until the Lord started revealing his word. And he shows us he's the Creator, shows us he's the dragon slayer, shows us that he's the stairway that takes us to heaven, shows us that he is the lamb that lets God pass over our sins. He's the living water that gives us life. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is our place, our access, our entrance into the very presence of God. He is the sacrifice that takes away, it gives us atonement, and makes God satisfied with our forgiveness, all those things. Now, we're going to meet him now in a little bit different way, okay? A little bit different way. Again, we're just taking this a piece at a time. Look at 2 Samuel 7. For those of you who've been Bible students a while, I want you to give me a quick family tree. There was a, and we're going to do more of this later, but there was a man named Adam who had a son who got killed. His name was Abel, and the son took his place, and his name was Seth. And Seth had a great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson that built a boat when the world was real wicked, and his name was Noah. And he had one of his three sons' name was Shem. And Shem had a son who 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 had a son whose name was Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. And Jacob had a son, and we haven't gone this far yet, but we'll talk about a fellow named Judah. And Judah is the great 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 granddaddy of a young man who was a shepherd boy who killed a giant and who became king on God's throne. His name? David. Now, there's a couple reasons I want you to see the family tree. Because on the last Wednesday, when we tie this whole study together, you're going to see that God has been planning Jesus to come and take care of us from before the world began. And He is going to fulfill that promise, not only in doctrine, not only in theology, not only in biblical principles. He's going to deal with it in history. So you're going to see God keep His promise over centuries in every way possible, with His promises, with His signs, with His prophecies, and with His people. 2 Samuel chapter 7, God is speaking to David. All right, God is speaking to David through Nathan. All right, now I want you to look particularly at verse 11, the last part of 11, and then 12. The Lord declares to you that the Lord Himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come out of from your own body, and I will establish His kingdom. All right, now, He said house. He would establish a house and He would establish a kingdom. What would you think those two words are? They're synonyms. They mean the same thing. Kingdom and house. In this case, God is going to establish a kingdom for David. And what does He say will take place? Who's going to see it? Whose kingdom is this going to be? It's going to be the offspring of David. Okay? Now, hold your finger right there. Well, let's finish reading this paragraph and then you can let it go, because you're going to need several fingers tonight. Verse 13. He said, I will establish His kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for My name, and I will establish the throne of His kingdom. Say it. Forever. So this kingdom is going to be a forever kingdom. All right? Keep reading. I'll be His father, He'll be My son. And then it goes on to, if He does wrong, I'll punish him, etc., etc., etc. All right, now, go from 2 Samuel. Start turning to the right. You'll go past 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Okay, are you turning? I don't know these names, but I'm reading them. Ezra, keep going. Nehemiah. We got to study Nehemiah. Man, what a man. And then Esther. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, are you with me? Esther? Are you with me? Esther? We're going to Job. Keep going. You got Job there? That's this book was written, that comes right after Esther, since she's had her job for 18 years. All right, keep going. You got Job. That's Job, by the way. There'll be people start saying it. Now, find the next one. What's the first book after Job? Quit that. What is the first book after Job? I'll go to that church, and they ask me to speak, and I'll say Job, and they'll vote on me again, and I'll lose the vote. All right. That's terrible. All right, so look at the second Psalm. Psalms 2. Now, while you're getting settled in that place, the second Psalm, the whole book of Psalms is another way of saying it's a song book, really. It's a song book. It's songs that God wrote through David and Solomon and some other folks. And these songs are inspired by God. So these are the songs that God writes and places on the hearts of a man, on the hearts of men, and they sing them. Psalm chapter 2, all right? Why do the nations conspire and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Underline that phrase, anointed one. What does anointed one mean? That's who a king was. He was the one that was anointed. So when he says anointed one, he says there he is the king. All right, keep reading. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. Now stop a second. Who's saying this? Who is saying this? The rulers of the nations. Now, real quick, no politics involved in this, just exercise. Name rulers that we have in the world today. Of course, we've got our president. Any other rulers you can think of? President of Mexico? Prime Minister of Canada? We're doing great. Prime Minister of England. You can tell how old some of us are. Margaret Thatcher. No, she's long gone, guys. Gordon Brown. Yes. Very good. Venezuela's president. Chavez. Iran. You did it. You were right. That's why I didn't want to try it. Amen. Right there. All right. All right. How about Russia? It used to be Putin. In fact, the truth is it still is him. It's just got another guy that's answering the strings. All right. Do you know China? And we better know China, folks, and we better get to praying. Do you know his name? It will end in ing somehow, all right? Throw the silverware on the floor and there'll be some name come out of there. All right, now. That's terrible. That is bad. Bad teacher. All right, enough. Enough foolishness. It really is interesting, though. We really should know the rulers of the nations because Jesus will teach us that we're to pray for all men and all that are in authority over men. Because that's how we seek God's blessing on those nations so that we can live in peace. It's a good thing to pray for. So start listening to the news a little bit different, right? Anyway, those nations are trying to throw away God. They're trying to throw off the chains of God. What does that mean they're doing? It says they want to break their chains and throw off their fetters. Tell me what that means. They want to do things their way, which would be? What kind of things would the nations be doing that they know God wouldn't want them to do? There's worship of idols in some countries. What else?
Idols.
What else?
Genocide.
Oh, genocide, yes. Anything else? Controlling of people, terrorist type activity, all those kind of things, starving off populations. There's all kinds of those kind of things. That's the nation's way of saying, the ruler's way of saying, we're going to do what we want to do because we're boss around here. I am the man in charge and I'll make decisions and do what I want to, when I want to, how I want to. Now look at the next paragraph. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. Mark it down, folks. Sometimes God laughs. Now, this laugh is not that chuckle, oh, listen to that baby, look at that. No, 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 no. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. Why? Look at the next phrase. The Lord scoffs at them. This is not a giggle of delight. This is a laugh, a mocking scoff. Then he rebukes them in his anger and he terrifies them in his wrath. What does he say? From his anger, from his wrath, from his scoffing, mocking laugh, he says, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. My king. Now, let's stop a second. Let's stop a second and do a little bit because some of us are just trying to catch up on this. Does God ever work through the circumstances of nations to bring about His will in spite of the fact that they don't want His will to be done? Maybe the best example, and it's one that I love to remember the most, is the story of Moses. Moses was born at a time when the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, was saying what? kill all the baby boys. So, okay, now, you're a mama. You're a daddy. You find out that you're going to have a child. There's no sonogram. There's no way to know if it's boy or girl. So when that mom goes into labor, secretly, what are you hoping? Hope it's a girl, because the soldier's standing right outside. There weren't delivery rooms, but you know what I mean. He's standing right outside the delivery room. And if it's a boy, what's he going to do? He's going to stick it with a sword, throw it in the Nile River, something horrible. I mean, it was a terrible thing they were doing. Now, what was Pharaoh saying about those boys? I am going to be king around here. None of them are ever going to be strong enough to be king. I'm not going to let any boy grow up to be a leader. So Moses' mama hid him for 3 months, wrapped him in a basket, stuck him in the river when he got too loud and smelly to hide, stuck him in the reeds. Big sister watched him. Pharaoh's daughter comes walking down to take a bath, sees the basket, sees the baby, opens the basket, baby cries, perfect timing. Pharaoh's daughter goes, oh, good thing it wasn't a guy, right? If it had been a man, they'd have kicked you down the Nile, you know. Further out there, not enough gator bait out of here. All right, now, Pharaoh's daughter picks up the baby. Miriam, big sister, comes running over. Oh, would you like me to find somebody to nurse your baby? She says, yes, I would, and I would pay them. So Miriam goes back and gets Mama, Moses' mama, and said, Mama, you want to get paid for taking care of your baby? Good gig, right? 18 years worth. All right, and then she comes back. Moses gets to be nursed by his mama. Pharaoh pays the bill, the babysitter bill. And what house does Moses live in? Safest house in the country. The one baby that Pharaoh needed to kill lived where? In Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh comes in from work. I don't know that he did it, but let's say he came in from work and his hands are bloody and he's tired. And his daughter walks up to him and said, Daddy, how was your day at work? Said, it was horrible, man. We were killing these Hebrew baby boys. And said, man, those men, they'll fight you. And those women, they'll fight you too. But I don't care how much they fight. I'm not going to let any of those babies grow up to be a leader and lead these people out of my country. Not me. Not me. I'm going to be Pharaoh. I'm going to be king forever. But don't bother me right now, honey. I just want to eat some supper and play with my grandson, Moses. Now tell me, the moment you think of that, what do you want to do? I see you smile. I heard a couple of you giggle. What do you think God's doing? God is laughing in heaven and scoffing Pharaoh. The one baby he needed to kill, he raised. Folks, I am not making this up. He was educated in all the ways of the Egyptian. Who paid his tuition? Says he was educated in all the ways of the Egyptians. Pharaoh paid for Moses to get education. Isn't that cool? Wonder who paid his chariot insurance for his braces. I guarantee you, yeah, Pharaoh's footing the bill for God's servant. So is God in charge? Okay, now take it a step. Take it one more step. A nation says, we are not going to let any kind of Messiah, we're not going to let any king come to this old country here in Israel, because we like our place, we like our power that we have. And so when they heard that a baby was born, they tried to kill him, but he was hiding off in Egypt. Then he came back, and when he was 12 years old, he got lost, and mama found him and had a kind of a tiff. He went and was raised 18 years being grounded because he had gotten lost. And then 30 years old, he's baptized. God finally says, that's him. The devil goes berserk, tries to tempt him. And then Jesus resists the devil, and the devil takes off. And then Jesus goes all over the country doing what? Takes him all over the country doing what God said was going to be done. And they finally killed him. But what happened when they killed him? They said, we will not let anybody here, we'll not let anybody take over our authority. We're not going to let anybody take over our country. But what'd they do? The moment they killed him, what'd they do? They made him savior of the world. He crushed the serpent's head. And when he was raised on Sunday morning, he tore the gates off of hell. And he became the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They thought, we'll kill him, but by killing him, what did they do? They fulfill the purpose of God. What does God do? He scoffs. I don't know how it's going to play out in your life, but God is at work in your life to fulfill a purpose. If you will just stay focused on doing what God wants you to do, He will work His will through you. And in spite of whatever people vote on about you, the vote will always come back with God voting for you, and you'll end this thing on top. I don't know if it means you'll have money in this life. I don't know if it means you'll have health. I don't know if you'll ever be loved or have a family. But I know when this is all over, you know where you'll be standing? With Him in glory. All I have to do is just look. Well, here's what I have to do. Look what He says. Verse 7. He said, I will proclaim the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of earth your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter and dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you be destroyed on your way. For His wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in Him. I'm going to focus on two phrases. Verse 11. What should I do? Serve the Lord with fear. Okay? What does fear mean there? Yeah. You're interested in what He thinks. That's what matters most. Well, I know what the Bible says, but I hear it all the time. I know what God wants, but I hear it all the time. The truth is, when God says something, we should treat it with respect. My mother sometimes would say to one of us little brothers, right, there were four of us boys, one angelic glow-in-the-dark child, and the other three demon-possessed ones. All right. One had a double. You know, all right. She would say to one of us little ones, go tell the big ones to come in for supper. How's that work?
No.
Little brother goes out and said, Bo, come in to supper. What does big brother say? You're not the boss of my life, you know, something like that. You know how kids are. I'll punch you. You ever say that to me again? That kind of stuff. So what would... I'd go back and I'd say, Mom, I told Bo and he said he wasn't going to come. Then she would say, you tell him I said so. You tell him Mama said so. You tell him Daddy said so. What's the import of that? It's coming from Mama. It's coming from Daddy. That's what's happening here. Serve the Lord with fear means, folks, when somebody says you shouldn't do this or you should do that, it's not about how you feel about it. It's not about what you think about it. It's not even what you think about the person who said it. Well, I don't like that preacher. I don't like that teacher. I don't like the way he looked at me. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like the way he stands. Guess what? It's not him you're listening to. It's him, not him you're supposed to serve. Serve the Lord with fear. Number one, if He's my king, I serve Him with fear. Now, what does serve mean? What does serve mean? Real simple. What does serve? I don't care about the Greek word. I don't care about the Hebrew word. I don't care anything about those things. Tell me what serve means. Work for. Serve.
Help fulfill His purpose.
Fulfill His purposes. Help. I'm going to make it simple as I can figure it out. Do what He says. I don't have to understand why He said it. I don't have to understand what consequences will follow if I do it. I just have to do what He says. I was teaching a class in California 100 years ago, and I was teaching a group of teenagers, and I was talking about trying to be like Jesus with your mama and treat your daddy like Jesus would. And I told him the little story about Jesus being good to his mama and good to his daddy. When I finished it, a girl held up her hand and she said, but if I treat my parents like Jesus would, they'll expect me to do it all the time. Guess what?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the way it's supposed to be. You serve the Lord with fear. It's not about convenience. It's not about understanding. It's not about personal pleasure. It's not about personal gain. Man, if I do this, it'll work out great. No, 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 no. It's because He said so. And when He said serve the Lord with fear, that means there is an or else. Okay? Now, we have in this room, and I'm not picking on anybody, but we have mothers and sometimes daddies who like to tell their children things and say or else, and there is no or else. It's just the words. Have you ever seen people like that at the mall? Don't you run in the store. Come back. You know, they've already running. Don't pick up stuff, and they're picking up all the stuff. There's no or else. When Jesus says it, He says an or else, He means it, right? But look at the next one. Okay, this is one I love. What does He say, do? Oh, keep going, next phrase. Kiss the Son. Folks, that's a sign of love. It's a sign of respect. It's a sign of honor. Best illustration I ever saw. Years ago, back in the old days, before 9/11, before airports became security zones, you used to see parents or people taking their kid, people, their daddy or their mama to the plane, and the kids would stand there and be hugging and crying because mama was about to leave or daddy was about to leave. And you'd see them. I've watched people, a businessman walk up there in a suit and his wife's there. She's all dressed up real nice and they call the flight and he turns around and they give each other a kiss. And you can tell by the kiss, well, you think you can anyway, you're just making this stuff up. But you can tell by the kiss, that guy's ready to walk into that plane, and she's ready for him to walk in the plane. She's been checking her watch, how long is this plane going to be, and the guy's been doing the same, how soon can I get away from this woman. But when they kiss, what does it look like? Yeah, it's just a peck, and there's just, it's like you can hear the ice. Tinkle, 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 tinkle. All right? Then you see some mama taking her, and the daddy's leaving. And man, if he's got on a uniform, the whole picture changes. They're holding on to each other. They're not letting go. They kiss. They say, morning. And he hangs on and hangs on. And finally, they get that one last kiss. What's the difference? It's not nothing, 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 nothing of form. It's about heart. And whether you can tell it by looking at the businessman or you can tell it by looking at the soldier, you can tell it in your own heart. And that's what He's talking about here. When He says kiss the Son, He's not talking about emotion. He's not talking about a motion. He's not talking about a symbol. Okay, I'm going to kiss the Son. No. He's talking about from your heart. And you've got to decide that. I can't. You've got to decide. What does it mean to kiss the Son? All right, so who, real quick, who would this person be who is a descendant of David that's going to sit on the throne, who is also going to be called the Son of God? Who is that going to be? It's going to be Jesus, isn't it? All right, there's other places and we'll look. Let's just stop there. Let's just stop there and focus our attention right there. This is how you live your life every day, y'all. If Jesus is your king, this is how you live your life every day. Every day becomes an expression of my love, my respect, my appreciation, my affection for Jesus. Did I kiss the Son today in my life? I went to church. I go to church every Sunday. I didn't ask if you went to church every Sunday. Well, I give my money every time they pass that basket. The problem is we don't ever pass the basket. Did you kiss the Son today? Well, I didn't get drunk, cuss, drink, smoke, spit, chew. Good, I'm glad. But did you kiss the Son? Did you kiss the Son today? Did you live your life today in a way that would show love, affection, respect, appreciation for Jesus? He's the king. That's what He expects. serve Him with fear, and kiss Him with love. Right? Now, flip side of that and we're done. But He also, the king also bears a responsibility. If someone's going to be my king, that means they take care of me. Now, I don't have to worry about that, and that's why I didn't spend any time teaching it. Do we have to worry about Jesus' side of this thing? He's got it covered, right? Did anybody have a place to sleep last night? Did anybody have food to eat today? Did anybody have any chance to be forgiven of sin today? Did anybody get a chance to pray and ask God to bless them today? Did anybody see any blessings from God today? I'm telling you, Jesus has got His part down. Part I'm working on, He's right here. Today, did I live my life in such a way that would show that I kissed the Son? Maybe a good way to start off. Maybe a good way to start off, okay? Every day. Today is a kiss. I'm going to kiss the Son today. I'm going to find some way to let Him know I love Him. I'm going to find some way to let Him know that I care about Him, that I appreciate Him, that I respect Him, that I want to make Him happy, that I want to be like Him. Let's kiss the Son. Okay, let's pray, and then I've got some announcements I've got to make I forgot to do earlier, okay? Father, thank You for today, for these folks, my safe trip back, and they're here, attendance here, Your words. But most of all tonight, we thank You for Jesus, our King. And with these words, and from our heart, we want to kiss Him. We want to show our respect, our love, our affection, our appreciation for Him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today is what, the 18th? Right, next Wednesday night, do I understand this correctly? Next Wednesday night is the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, right? Yes. We will not, listen to me closely, we will not have Bible classes for the kids next Wednesday. Okay? Okay? And we will not have supper next Wednesday. Okay? If you want to meet here for supper, bring your own supper. Bring your brown bag. There'll be some of us that meet up here. What we'll do is at 6:30, we'll just, after we finished whatever we brought, our own supper. Bring your own supper. But after we finish that, we'll get around and we're just going to pray and thank God for what He's given us. Okay? So it'll be a real simple time together. We're going to thank God for some things. Well, we're just going to spend our time thanking God for things. We're going to take those good things we've been talking about all year and start thanking God for them. Okay? That's next Wednesday night. So let's back up. From this Wednesday night, Thursday night, which is tomorrow, right? As it is tomorrow. Ladies, this is your ladies' night out, okay? Husbands, keep the kids, and if you don't have kids, that's something to add to your thank God list. All right, the ladies' night, Thursday, at this address. Now, do you eat soup or bring soup? Oh, well, okay. It's going to be a soup night, all right? So it's a bring your own soup. All right? Now, that's Thursday night. Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, meet Kyle for a very moving day. Okay? Very moving experience here. At 10 o'clock, we'll have ladies' Bible class here. So 9 o'clock, Kyle. 10 o'clock ladies class, Sunday morning. Excellent point. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Since we fell backwards, it's really 10, so you got lots of sleep. All right, 9 o'clock is our Bible class. And right now we're studying the letter called 1 Timothy that's teaching us how to build a church. Not just how to be a group, but how to build a church. That's first. We're studying 1 Timothy chapter, well, I don't know what chapter we'll be on Sunday, but we'll be in 1 Timothy, okay? That's at 9 o'clock, and then, of course, 10 o'clock is donuts, hugging, and remembering Jesus, okay? Now, Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, is there going to be food?
No.
Only if you bring some, okay? Are there going to be kids' classes?
No.
Are we going to meet? Will the doors be open? Yes. All right. Get out of here.
There's
going to be meat? Reed? Slap him.
That's right.